We're in Alaska's season of darkness, which is a great time of year to see new movies and documentaries with family and friends. The Anchorage International Film Festival gets underway at the end of this week and features a packed schedule of documentaries, short films, comedy, animation, and discussions with filmmakers. It will be a week filled with creative and thoughtful content from both Alaska filmmakers and international selections. We'll hear from filmmakers and directors today on Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello from Alaska Public Media. It's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. Films Worth Freezing For is a great way to describe the offerings of the annual Anchorage International Film Festival. This year marks the 24th gathering of the festival, and the lineup of films for this year is an impressive example of how the event has grown through the decades. We're fortunate to have both festival directors and filmmakers with us today. Pat McGee and Adam Linkenhelt are both directors of the Anchorage International Film Festival, and both are also filmmakers. We'll learn more about that in a bit. Also with us today are Indigenous writers and filmmakers Kelly Moneymaker and Princess Johnson. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, so glad you're all here. Princess likely has the most name recognition for a public broadcasting audience, as Princess is one of the creators and writers of the award-winning program Molly of Denali. It's exciting to have so many talented Alaskans on with us today. Pat and Adam, give us an overview. Start us off here. The film festival hosts screenings in several places in Anchorage. So start off by telling us about the schedule and how you decide which venues get to show the various films. Is there thought that goes into, oh, this one would do well in this smaller setting? Or how do you decide those things?
Well, I think all the venues are really awesome and offer like a different kind of atmosphere or vibe, right? And so whether it's the E Street, the Alaska Experience Theater, the Anchorage Museum, or the Beartooth. So it's kind of just figuring out what that week, those 10 days, will feel like for the visiting filmmakers and the Alaskan community. So kind of just trying to imagine what that going between those theaters will feel like and going back and forth and seeing different parts of town. I mean, that kind of goes into it. Also, there's, you know, a big part of the festival this year was how can we get the filmmakers to attend the festival? How can we get as many as possible here? And so being able to move around where their screenings would be, because, you know, based on when they can make it. So we were in communication with the filmmakers a lot with that and trying to make sure that we could accommodate them.
Yeah, just adding to what Adam said is, I mean, literally up until we printed the schedule, he was moving stuff around the last minute just so we could get more filmmakers up here. And so having that flexibility in all these beautiful spaces to be able to kind of move it around like a chessboard has been very, very fortunate. And this year we have so many filmmakers, I mean, coming. I think probably the most we've ever had. And that's a big reason.
How many?
Upwards to
100.
Upwards to 100.
Wow.
And I know, I think last year, I think we had 38.
And how many from Alaska?
Oh, this is not counting the people from Alaska. I mean, well, it's...
Yeah, no. I think most of the Alaskan films will be represented by the filmmakers at the festival. So, and we have two blocks of Made in Alaska shorts. We have the Native Voices block at the Beartooth Theater. And then also there's multiple Made in Alaska feature documentaries, feature narrative Uphill, which was made by... someone from Eagle River. So it's a lot of community stuff. And
what's interesting too is the way we kind of built the schedule. While we have Native Voices and we have Alaskan made shorts and docs, we've also taken Alaskan made films and populate them throughout. So you're not necessarily, when you're going to see something that says cinematic variety pack number 2, that actually has probably half of the films in it that are Alaskan made. So it was a good way to kind of merge these audiences together. I think that was one of our big priorities, is trying to create a space where the local artists the local filmmakers, the patrons of the film festival, and then all the filmmakers visiting kind of share these experiences. Because I think, you know, we've been here two different times, and it always seemed like it was kind of like a little separated. So if you went to an Alaskan-made thing, it was Alaskan-made. And not necessarily all the filmmakers that were visiting participate in that. So we're trying to bring those all those communities together and kind of like feed off of each other.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Like, yeah.
Spark some creativity among these creative minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even with Native Voices, you know, there's indigenous films sprinkled into, you know, documentary shorts or into just narrative shorts as well. So it's there's focused blocks, but there's also, you know, they're woven into the whole thing.
And how or who decides who gets in? Do creative people apply? Is it invitation? Do you beg some people to come? How does that work?
Well, begging and borrowing always works. That's what my dad told me. It's a combination of all those things. I mean, look, we have a really talented group of programmers, some that have been here for years, Alaska, and then other people that we have known, you know, that we, you know, value their insights. So what we did is over the course of, you know, look, we came on about 6 months ago. You know, it was a hurry up and go. Like literally there was nothing going on. It was 6 months ago. Some people walked away and we took over and we got the film to the programmers and we started going deep into these. And the first thing that we learned is like, oh my gosh, there are a lot of really talented films out there and it's really tough. And we've been on the other side where we've applied to many film festivals.
We've been rejected a lot.
And it's so funny. So we know from that other perspective, when someone pays $20, that you need to take the time and have people really watch those and make a really, you know, a discussion about it. And that it's not this whimsical thought like, okay, denied. And so having that perspective and been through that process ourselves for so many years and spending so much money and time and effort, it's helped a lot. We have a great team of programmers and, you know, then they just kind of like the cream of the crop rises up. But then as Adam pointed out, one of the things that we really wanted to do is not just pick the best of the best films that are out there. Now, on paper, if we did that, and it's always, you know, it's someone's opinion, so what is the best of the best? Who knows, right? But what we want to do is prioritize people that could attend. Because in one scenario, you could literally have 50 amazing films, but none of the filmmakers are attending.
That's just a screening,
so,
you know?
So you're basically just doing a screening. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is a festival, we're trying to do a celebration, we're trying to do a showcase and create that space of creatives. And so, obviously, I mean, the amount of Alaskan-made films that we have here from Anchorage and all the other communities, that's a huge priority because we know they're going to come. And this is their one pathway in some ways to get their...
Get recognition,
yeah,
sure.
And to, you know,
and
anytime,
to mix with people outside of Alaska who you know, are involved in the film industry and other art forms.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better to, you know, if you make something, you can show it at your house, you show it on your phone, on your computer. But when you get to go to E Street or the museum or, you know, the Bear Tooth, I mean, that's a celebration.
Absolutely.
That's what's exciting. So I think prioritizing those people that could make the film festival. Look, we turned down a lot of good films for people that just couldn't make it because maybe, but then there's a bunch of other films that were just amazing. We'll talk about later.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love the enthusiasm. And if you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska. And today we're talking about the Anchorage International Film Festival that gets underway later this week. We have in the studio with us today Pat McGee and Adam Linkenheld. They're both festival directors. Also in the studio is Kelly Moneymaker. Kelly is an Indigenous writer and filmmaker. And on the phone is Princess Johnson, who is also an Indigenous writer and filmmaker. And I want to talk to both you, Pat and Adam, about your film background. But first, let's get our other guests in here. Princess, in addition to your work as a writer for Molly of Denali, you're a filmmaker and have a short documentary in this festival exploring community connections to salmon, birch, and dealing with climate change. Before we talk about that, let's listen to the audio from the trailer.
Oh, Our ears start opening to a different sound. We start hearing a different sound of wind.
When you have a safe place, creativity happens. You provided that safety. You made all of our hearts beat together.
Something opened up to us that we never thought it was there, but it's out there, blessing us and telling us we're here.
Really, you, of course, our radio listeners can't see the beautiful imagery there, but we'll post a link to that trailer on the Talk of Alaska post at alaskapublic.org so you can see it. Princess, tell us about the aim of this particular documentary, how it was developed, and especially how did Yo-Yo Ma get involved?
Yeah, so it's just every time I hear, so what we just listened to was the singing of a dear friend of mine and tradition keeper, Sunny Luke, who's from this area. So I'm on Lower Tanana Dene lands in Fairbanks, Alaska. And then we heard my mentor, Elder Fred John from Intesta. And he is really the narrator of the piece and just sharing some really beautiful wisdom and stories about many things, but in particular, our relationship to the salmon. And then we heard Yo-Yo Ma's voice. And I just feel incredibly fortunate and blessed to be in community with such incredible human beings. And Yo-Yo Ma has a program called Our Common Nature. So kind of how we were put in contact initially was through a film, an incredible film project curated by our executive producer, Tracy Rector, called Reciprocity Project. And then she connected us with Yo-Yo Ma, Our Common Nature, and they had been wanting to work with Alaska Native people on something. And it just so happened that through a number of workshops that we were doing that summer called Gath and Ki, so that's King Salmon and Birch, that it kind of culminated with this musical event that we did with Yo-Yo Ma and other community members and participants that had participated in three workshops over the summer that were really addressing and making space to talk about our grief around the climate crisis in Alaska. And so that's kind of the background of how it came about. And I think that, you know, one of the big lessons or takeaways is that we don't make enough space to just address our grief around these changes. And I think by making that space and connecting with the land and the animals and the waters, then we also make space for the creativity and the sort of joy and celebration and solutions that we need to address these pressing issues of our times.
Thank you. So well said. Did you come to the community sort of with the idea, or did the community lead it? How did it come together that it would be presented more broadly than just in the community in this setting?
Yeah, no, I think it was definitely very organic. It was like a number of Zoom meetings that we had with Yo-Yo and his team. And he's so amazing. I mean, somebody like that, you're kind of like nervous to meet them. And he's just got a great sense of humor, super disarming, just like puts you at ease right away. And yeah, so it was very organic how things came about. There was nobody that was just like, this is what we're going to do. So his creative team, which included Sophie Shackleton and Zion Jackson, and then our organizers from Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition and Native Movement. We had DeLula Erickson with us and Aurora Browers. It was very much community-based and community-led, and I think that that is what emanates from the final project that you see on screen.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Thank you. Princess Kelly, I want to turn to you now. You are a creative media producer, film, sound, music. You have two films on the Native Voices Showcase. Tell us about them.
First of all, I just want to clarify that I am Indigenous, but it's through my Samoan bloodline and my adoptive Inupiat identity.
Yes.
Because I just want to make that clarification so I'm not stepping on any toes. But I am I'm an advocate and an ally, and as someone who deeply cares about Alaska and the environment, I mean, I'm Alaska proud 100%. My husband makes the joke that it takes less than 10 seconds for me to tell someone I've just met that I'm from Alaska.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing music since I was a child. I started singing at 2 professionally at 13 and hit the road shortly thereafter. So, you know, being someone who's traveled all over the world, music is the universal language. And I felt that I could connect my music into, you know, larger storytelling, because songs are short form storytelling. And I grew up watching documentaries with my dad. So I landed in New Zealand and ended up going back to university and fell in love with documentary filmmaking. And I was working on a project called Vaka with the Tokelauans. It's a tiny island nation off the coast of Samoa. And I started to realize that the problems they're facing with climate crisis there are the same ones that we're facing here at home. And I just felt a call to come home and be of service to our communities. And I'm basically trying to, my thesis was focused on Indigenous research methodologies for creative practice. And one thing that I've realized is that there's engagement fatigue in the islands, in the Pacific Islands, where people don't want to speak to you because they've been mistreated by, you know, newscaster, news crews coming in and not really understanding the culture, not meaning to cause harm, but not really understanding it, and therefore stepping on people or mistreating the interviewees. Another part of it is that science, when people are in documentaries, they're considered the researched, and they are not paid. So when I came home, I really wanted to make sure that we were using new ways of communicating with people and supporting their voices. So I learned about co-production of knowledge, multiple-eyed seeing. So that's taking like the Samoan guiding principles, Inupiat guiding principles, Maori. I combined it with a bunch of Indigenous guiding principles that are very similar to create a new methodology of engagement. And so, as Princess said, it's so important that these projects up here facing climate change, you know, the inequalities created by patriarchy and capitalism and all that, that we make sure that the stories are Indigenous-led. And I ask the communities, first of all, ask for permission to come. Don't just show up. A lot of these places don't have a place to put you, right? And you have to be fed by someone in the community, so you're taking food away from their families in order to do that, unless you've prepared and you've brought all of your own supplies, which is, you know, logistically an issue. Yeah. So, you know, there's a way to properly engage respectfully and to show reciprocity and make sure that people have agency. So they drive the questions, and they are the ones who tell me what's important to their community so I can be helpful. Help is only helpful if it's asked for, right?
Absolutely.
And so so that's just what Drum Song Films is trying to do. And I've learned so much. I was born and raised in Alaska. My dad is Inupiat, but there's so much I didn't know, you know? And by engaging with communities, I have learned so much, and I have so much more yet to learn, which I'm very excited to do. And so I feel honored and humbled to be part of this Native Voices Showcase, and I want to share what my team and I have learned and share the stories of the communities. I feel honored that they trusted us and shared their stories with us. We were able to premiere at the UNFCCC COP28 in Dubai. And from then, we've just gone into the film festival circuit. Drum Song is basically coming home now. So ending the film festival circuit at home is just a huge thing for me. And Reclamation has just started, which is the companion piece animated music video short that is about missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and how to protect our lands and peoples with industrial development. I'm excited for the Q&A and to engage with the other filmmakers who are part of this showcase. There's so much talent here in Alaska.
Fantastic. So, Pat and Adam, turning back to you now, is the Native Voices Showcase, is this a new feature or is this something that's been in place for a while? Tell us about that.
I think just the amount that we're highlighting it this year. I think there's always been, in the Made in Alaska shorts blocks, and there's always been a bit of a focus on it, but just really highlighting it this year. And I think the lineup is just incredible, really incredible. And it's kind of, it's our Saturday. It's like our Saturday night kind of as the festival's, ending, it's a big celebration. And I also just want to say, both Drum Song and Listen to Heal, they're beautiful and just such well-made films, but also they're so emblematic of the festival and the ideas that I think we want, the incorporation, right? Like we're talking about and bringing people together in the community and what we fight for community and, in independent film, you're fighting for, you're fighting for that community. So I think it's so representative and emblematic of what, I think we want people to take away from the festival.
Yeah. And okay. I think Kelly really, pointed out that there's so much talent here. And it's this great week of celebrating film, but also kind of like showing off these amazing filmmakers and the creatives that we have here in Alaska. So it's crazy because it's not just the documentary, it's in the narrative. I mean, there's some amazing, narratives that that are locally made as well. And so once we bring up these other filmmakers and they meet these people, they're like, oh, there's this other community up here in Alaska. And it's a great networking because sometimes when you're in, I'm from Michigan originally, but if you're in Flint, you're only as big as your community, and you have to get outside that to take those next steps and cultivate relationships and build and become inspired. And so hopefully this week becomes a week of inspiration and building relationships, and everybody wins. Exciting, a lot of films.
Absolutely.
I actually want to jump in. And
Princess,
just,
please do. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on there's just an amazing cross-pollination that happens when you go to film festivals and you meet other creatives. And, I've gone, we've been really fortunate with Gatha and Ki and my short film previously, Dia Hanai Dai Treda, which was all in Argwichin language. That was also at the Anchorage International Film Festival, but I couldn't make it down. I want to say it was a COVID situation. But there is something really beautiful that happens when you get to be in that dark theater together, and then you actually get to meet the creatives and audience members and see. There's nothing like being in the room with other people, as you watch these films, and kind of a full circle. I'd really want to point out a moment, Tides of Tradition, which is in the Native Voices block by a very talented young filmmaker named Kenesha Price. And Kenesha actually went through, we have at Native Movement and Alaska Native Filmmakers Intensive, because we saw the need for us to tell our own stories and build the capacity, the technical capacity of homegrown filmmakers. So Kenesha was a participant in both iterations. We've done it a couple times. The first year we did it, we partnered with UAF Frame. And then the most recent one that we did in Nome, we just kind of did on our own and brought up other seasoned indigenous filmmakers. But it's so beautiful to see Kenesha, and her film is lovely. It's already premiered on PBS. Really take this narrative sovereignty and run with it and really move forward with really establishing herself as a filmmaker. So I'm really excited that our films are together in this block.
That's great. Thank you for that.
Awesome.
We had a question from a caller who didn't want to go on air, but wanted to know if there is an all event pass that people can buy to see all the films in the festival. Is it even possible to do that? Can one human see all the films in the festival?
No, there's some overlap, actually,
because there were so many films. That makes sense, yes.
There's a little bit of overlap.
Yeah. This year we don't have the all-access passes, so it would just be purchasing by per film.
But you do have a new supporter kind of a thing, right? A VIP supporter. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this was our lovely board member, our president, Rich, is it? No. So a supporter badge, basically, these badges have been going on for years and years, right? And to make things a little smoother this year, we didn't do the badges. And so, like, the supporter badge is just your token of appreciation. It's for people that have been collecting these badges. They buy either $100 worth of films or they make a donation, and they'll receive the badge. And it's just a way of sponsoring the film festival.
Okay, so it's like a keepsake.
It is.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's, you know, and I think, you know, look, this next year we'll sit down and figure out, you know, what's the best way. I think, you know, by having the Beartooth, the E Street, and all these different entities, it's we're trying to make it as smooth as possible. We do think that there's going to be more people that have attended, and so we want to make sure that everybody has a ticket.
All right.
So.
Is it okay if I jump in?
Yeah.
Please do. Kelly?
Like I said, the Native Showcase, as they both just said, is you know, the fact that we're being showcased and a youthful filmmaker like Kenesha is part of it and Princess is part of it, and I feel honored to be part of it. And we're hoping that going forward in the future that we can continue to do these Native Voices-focused showcases. Mm. And so I would like to ask the Alaskan audience to put your butts in the seats and help us out, because we are Saturday the 14th at 4 p.m., and we really need your support. We need the local community mm-hmm. to support Native Voices. And you know, people want to see the hockey movies and all this stuff, and those are easy sells, but come support your local filmmakers. And that way we can ensure that next year and the year after that, we can continue to have these Native Voices showcases and support the younger filmmakers coming up behind us.
Yeah, really an important point that if you want to see more local films made, then you got to show up and show support so there's enough enthusiasm to carry that forward.
I, it's so true, because honestly, it's like the film festival lasts like once. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I love your enthusiasm. We do need to take a quick break. So thanks for joining us for Talk of Alaska today as we're discussing the Anchorage International Film Festival. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation as Talk of Alaska continues statewide. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're discussing the Anchorage International Film Festival that starts later this week with Pat McGee and Adam Linkenhelt. They are both festival directors. Also on the line with us today is Princess Johnson, who is an Indigenous writer and filmmaker. And in the studio is Kelly Moneymaker, who is another Indigenous writer and filmmaker, both from Alaska. Pat and Adam, this is your first year running the festival, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How did that discussion get started, and what made you decide, okay, we can do this?
First half year, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've been at this festival twice before with feature documentaries that we've made. Back in, I think, 2019 and 2021, maybe.
So you started as participants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was, you know, it's a unique festival experience. And I think, you know, you walk away saying, well, that was an experience. And I think, you know, that just meant a lot to us. And so when the position opened up and the festival directors left, you know, Pat was like, Adam, you know, we've done a lot of projects together. We worked together for 15 years on documentaries, network series and stuff. And he's like, this, you know, we've talked about how much we love film festivals, the things we love about film festivals, the things maybe sometimes they get wrong, the way that you could really improve the experience for people and the community. We've talked about this for years, you know. And so when he's like, would you know, He's like, "Would you want to try to do this with me?" I was like, "Okay, let's do it," you know. And it was we've also both done, you know, programming and jury stuff with film festivals, and, you know, kind of consulted on other friends' film festivals. So we've been involved in film festivals in other ways in small parts for years. So this was like you know, pulling together all those things over the years, and you know, taking our shot.
Yeah. And so tell us about, you know, I love this focus on the Native Voices showcase and hearing from Indigenous filmmakers in Alaska. But tell us about some of the other films that are also, I know that there's other Alaskans featured, some brothers, I think, from Eagle River that did a documentary.
It's interesting because when we were trying to prioritize, you know, how we're going to select films, we had one bucket that was going to be Alaskan made, super important. And then another, a third was going to potentially be first time filmmakers or newer filmmakers. And then the other part was going to be films, independent films that are really amazing, doing big things at all these film festivals, whether it's Tribeca, Doc NYC.
The biggest films of the year.
The biggest films of the year that are independently made. So it was all three of those that we were trying to get. So, but we look at the amazing talent that we have in Alaska. Some of those, I mean, we have this doc called Unearth. It's the Strickland brothers. They're co-directors along with, I think the director
Jonathan Hunter. Jonathan Hunter.
Yeah. And so that's about, it's about the efforts with the Salmon
Bristol
Sisters.
With the Bristol Bay mining?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
the Pebble Mine.
Pebble Mining. So it's an extraordinary doc. I mean, it's almost sold out. And that basically premiered a couple of weeks ago at Doc NYC to a standing, you know, like sold out crowd. And these are two, you know, directors here in Alaska telling this story that's super important to them. And so we're going to have, they're going to be there with, you know, the whole community that's been basically, you know, standing up for that fight. We're so excited about that. We have another first time director with Adam Boyer.
Adam Boyer's from Eagle River. So he wrote a script that was in the festival a few years back, and so he's just made his first feature film, which is really exciting to, you know, hometown kid.
That was shot here.
Yeah, that was shot here, and so that's screens Thursday night. Yeah, it's just a mix. And then Champions of the Golden Valley, that's Ben Sturgeluski, who is from the Aleutian Islands, I think. Is that correct? He's from Alaska as well. So that film was at Tribeca?
That premiered at Tribeca.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's basically about this community in Afghanistan that when the Taliban came in, am I saying it right? They came in and divided everybody and took away skiing. And so some people fled, and we're going to actually have a guest here. His name is, I believe, Ali Shah, that is going to be here as one of our guests. So Saturday we have Unearth, and then locally, and then we have Champions of the Golden Valley. It's just amazing because some of these films, you know, we have another film called Stranger's Case that premiered at Berlin. 1,500 people saw that at the premiere Berlin Film Festival. Standing ovation. We have Ben's film, Champions of the Golden Valley, which is amazing. That's at premiered at Tribeca. Unearthed locally from the Strickland brothers, you know, at Doc NYC sold out. And then
Porcelain War. Sundance.
Won Sundance. So it was the best documentary at Sundance is going to be playing here at the Anchorage Museum. I mean, amazing.
When you contact folks, it's not like they're saying, Alaska, what? They know about the film festival then and are inspired to come here after having been at some of the most, you know, noted in the world festivals.
I mean, I think that's one of our priorities has been trying to elevate the quality. So it's more Alaskan films, more indie films that are real quality, like big quality, that we can get the filmmakers here. And these filmmakers are showing up.
Yeah.
So that's
sometimes
exciting.
People say they go Alaska in the winter.
Here's another good one that is amazing. It's called So Surreal. And that premiered at TIFF, at Toronto International Film Festival. And that also features a bunch of some people from Anchorage. So
at one time, About a decade or so ago, we had a film tax credit that was put in by the legislature. That sunset and has not come back. How big a deal is that? Would that make a big difference? You know, you mentioned a film that was shot here. How much would that affect what may happen in the future for film work in this state?
Always. I mean, in California, our industry has been gutted because they won't do tax credits. Now, finally, the governor's doing something, but it's a little too late. That's why states like Georgia,
New Mexico,
New Louisiana. I mean, all these places have massive tax credits. Utah, 25%. But, you know, California has been gutted in terms of, like, doing actual business there. So they provide that opportunity for people. You know,
So it is a good idea.
It's a great idea.
You two, after the film festival, will probably be lobbying your local legislators, I imagine, to get that tax credit back in. Princess, I want to get you back in here. Talk about the importance. We've been talking about, you know, broadly about Alaskan filmmakers and others, international filmmakers coming from some of the biggest festivals in the world. But talk about the importance of Indigenous people being front and center in telling their own stories. What are some of the outcomes that you see from the Molly series in this regard?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the significance of us telling our own stories is that we inherently come from a place of our Indigenous values. And so we embed our Indigenous values into the stories that we tell. And with Molly of Denali, I mean, I have so many incredible stories about that series, which is ongoing and been such a blessing because we have reached an audience of millions and it's an intergenerational audience. But I remember one non-Native parent, you know, telling me, oh, ever since my kids started watching Molly of Denali, they go around thanking nature. And I'm like, yeah. That we should be doing that. And that's
fantastic.
The whole point, right? It's just like those, you know, respecting the elders, you know, having, you know, Molly lives in this intergenerational world. And so when we tell stories, you know, from our perspective about, for instance, the climate crisis, then we tend to, it's not always, sometimes when I see climate stories about the climate crisis from an outsider's perspective, they're pretty depressing. You know, there's like, it's come from this deficit kind of scarcity mindset. And I feel like when we tell our own stories, like we are able to incorporate, you know, some celebration, some joy, some, you know, a different perspective,
thriving.
That is unique to us and in again, like upholds our Indigenous values.
Yes, thriving, not just surviving and having a good, robust life. So Princess and Kelly, both of you, would you say that your work, when you think about it, and, you know, it doesn't, I'm not trying to make it be one or the other, but when you think about your approach, is it more about educating and correcting historical and contemporary accounts of Native life for non-Native people, or inspiring Native youth to be proud of who they are and seeing themselves reflected in popular media?
Do you want to go first, Princess?
Sure. I mean, I think, yeah, it's not one or the other, like in an ideal, like, I guess it depends, you know, things change, you know, project to project. But yes, we want to speak to our own Indigenous communities and have that sense of uplift and hope. And at the same and also, I think when you're inherently, when you are doing that correctly, that you are also raising the consciousness and opening up these other ways of seeing the world to a non-Indigenous audience. And I think that, you know, I want to use the example of So Surreal, Behind the Masks, which I had the privilege of seeing the premiere at Toronto International Film Festival.
Amazing.
And that is such a beautiful example of, you know, it's really about how, you know, Yupik mask making really influenced the entire surrealist movement, but it brings about these ideas. It eases a non-Indigenous audience into the ideas of how we are so connected to the things that we create, to the land, to the animals, all these, again, these like values, you know, in a way that isn't didactic. It's not beating at somebody like, let's educate you and correct your thinking. It's not, it's the approach isn't like that. It's just good storytelling. And I think that is what the core of good storytelling does, is it opens up pathways in the brain that is just like causes people to think critically and opens up your ideas.
Outstanding. Such a beautiful way of describing both the effort and also what you hope will help the audience expand their thinking. Kelly, please.
I agree with Princess. It's both. I mean, you want to set a good example, but how do you do that? You do it through, you know, you're walking the walk and talking the talk. You're showing it through your art. And I think that's the best way to do it. You know, that spoonful of sugar, because people don't want to be beaten over the head. They don't want to be told what to do. But if you inspire them by doing, by showing, you know, living by example, that's the best way. You know, a lot, you know, Indigenous histories are shared through their story. Our storytelling is through oral communication, through songs and dance. And it was interesting because, you know, nowadays they're doing all this research about frequencies and how healing frequencies are for the body. But these are practices that Indigenous people have been doing for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. There's evidence now that the Inupiaq culture has been in Alaska for 17,000 years, right? And it's so healing, right, to dance, to sing, to share your knowledge and hand it down to the next generation. And so I think that's an important perspective, too. Art is science. Science is art. So, yeah, just through example.
Absolutely. We are going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the Anchorage International Film Festival as Talk of Alaska continues. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are discussing the Anchorage International Film Festival with directors Pat McGee and Adam Linkenhelt. And also filmmakers, sorry, Adam, Linkenhelt.
You nailed it the whole time, though. It's been impressive.
Darn it.
I've been very pleased.
Had to blow
it once.
Also on the line with us is Princess Johnson, an Indigenous writer and filmmaker, and Kelly Moneymaker is in the studio, also an Indigenous writer and filmmaker. Jason asked about the possibility of the festival expanding outside of Anchorage and or involving school districts and other community organizations. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, one, we do also have the Alaska Teen Media Institute screening on Thursday the 12th, which is, so that's a bunch of youth filmmakers.
Yes.
And they kind of create the, it's 2 hours. It's, I think the films are juried and judged and Q&A during that whole time. So that's a awesome community outreach we have. And then on the other question, you know, the growth of the festival, I think that's something Pat and I talk a lot about. Is, and what we believe is that the Anchorage International Film Festival has no ceiling. We see it as a way to be one of the most premier film festivals in the entire world. And I think because of what Alaska has to offer, that bucket list destination, the unique experience that we talked about that we felt when we had it. So, you know, we're all about trying to grow the festival, and you know what's exciting, next year is the 25th year, you know, like that is to be around for 25 years.
I was going to ask about that. How does that shake out when you compare it to other festivals around the world? Do they last? I mean, you know, we know Sundance and some of the big ones, but do they flame out usually before 24 years goes by?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at 24 years, it's a, you know, it's because of the board, you know. There's people that have been around for 24 years pushing this festival, and it's a collection of this community wanting this to happen. And, you know, the festival is really about the community, and it's about them, you know. It'll be as big as they want it to be. I mean, we have the skills to kind of help guide it, but if the community wants it to be bigger, it'll be bigger. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many festivals that people can go to, but it is a bucket list. People come to Alaska, it's an experience. So when they come here, you want to give them everything, you know, like, And that's kind of what we felt when we came here.
And you're doing something new this year with some discussions, coffee engagement discussions with the community. Talk about what your effort is there.
So we're going to do a thing called Coffee Talk. It's going to be five times this week, and it's a panel discussion of filmmakers, and it's open to anyone in the, you know, the community that wants to come by, have a cup of coffee. If you bought a ticket and you saw one of the films that day or sometime that week and you want to come and hear, meet some filmmakers and hear a conversation, be part of it, come join us. It's going to be at the Alaska
Experience Theater.
And it's going to be
9 a.m.
to 9:45. And, you know,
it's just a great way to start the day, you know, and it's a kind of casual panel and, you know, meet the filmmakers and, you know, talk about some of the intricacies of filmmaking and different aspects of it.
Because, you know, a lot of times when it's filmmaking, it's independent, it's about relationships, because most people aren't making money doing these films. And so it's like you're going to meet people there that you might make your next film with. And so it's about those relationships over a cup of coffee.
Fantastic. Yeah. Kelly.
I thought music was bad, but I've never been more broke in my life. I started making films, you know, Money Spender. That's my new name.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. I highly encourage independent filmmakers here in Alaska to come to the coffee talks. You will meet other people from outside Alaska. And you'll learn a lot. I've learned a lot by being part of the film festival circuit and going to see other people's films, going to the Q&A sessions, hearing how they made their films, what the challenges were that they faced, what their, you know, how they problem solved. And we have so much to deal with here in Alaska. Logistics are really difficult to get across Alaska when you're trying to film, and it's very expensive. So learning from others who've made the mistakes. Come learn from my mistakes. I've made plenty. and I, you know, don't know if Princess has any stories to tell, but it's difficult to make films in general. But we have unique situations to deal with here.
Are there new categories this year?
We have a couple of new awards.
We have two new,
awards. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We have the what is it? The
we have
sorry the real world the real world impact award and the Explorer Achievement Award.
Yeah, okay. And so the Explorer Achievement Awards is curated by Greg Taylor, who's an part of the Explorers Club.
And I know that in an earlier interview, Kelly, you had said that you'd love to see in the future a cell phone category for teenagers to are doing little social media. I shouldn't say little. They're doing social media videos, and maybe they could turn that into. Talk a little about what you're thinking about for this for young people, and then it'd be great to have Princess and Adam and Pat follow up in our final couple minutes here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, Lori. I've just noticed that the youth today, they're so good at putting out media online. You know, they create these little stories and clips for social media, but it's just that little extra step that they would need to take to make a film, and they need to be encouraged that they can do it. They have all the power in the world in their hands, because cell phones have wonderful apps now. You've got Blackmagic camera apps and all kinds of editing software, and I don't think that technology like having expensive cameras and things should ever be a barrier to storytelling. Again, to reiterate what Princess had just said, is that they need to be telling stories from their perspective across Alaska.
Yes.
Whether you're in Fairbanks or Nome or in any of the villages. You know, I was just in Prince of Wales Island this summer in Cake, which is, you know, one of my favorite places on earth. But the youth need to be encouraged to tell their stories. So I haven't even discussed this with them. It was just, I was ideating one day and I was like, can we have a cell phone category for youth?
I mean, just adding to that, it's so interesting because, you know, story is paramount. Story trumps everything. It doesn't matter what kind of camera, what kind of technology you have. It's always about the story. And, and one of the biggest IPs that we each all have is our story, our lens, our perspective, and our view. And that kind of, when you share that with people, that's art manifesting. And so it's such a good idea because it doesn't matter if you have the expensive lens or not, because the story will always trump.
Let's go to the phones for really quick for just a moment, and then we'll get you in here, Princess. Hi, okay. Mark. We're bringing you on late, so I hope it's a short shout out.
It is. I just want to shout out an Inuit Yupik. She's made several indigenous films in Alaska. Stephanie Alton's going to be there.
Yep.
Saturday at Born of the Ice is her new one. I'm hoping to see it. going to be a great film, I hope. She's all had, what, One with the Whale, and I Have Both Worlds. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to plug her.
Great
well,
film.
Thanks.
Great
film. Thank you, Mark. Mark in Petersburg, thanks for the comment. And Princess, please jump in.
Awesome. Stephanie's a dear friend. I just wanted to, on this note, there is a film festival, Alapa Film Festival, that the Katurvik Cultural Center is putting on. I believe you can find information at kawarik.org. And they actually are looking for short form, like TikTok reels, YouTube shorts, that they're including, that's just related to life in the far north. So that's an opportunity for people that have that sort of short form media. And then I just wanted to circle back really quick for people that are really interested in seeing a film tax incentive program brought back to Alaska. There, you can go to alaskafilminginitiative.org. And there is a petition there to, and a push to see that come back, being spearheaded by Alex Soleil and Ashley Wells and Stephen Cornfield.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for letting folks know about that. Yes.
I was just going to say Stephen Cornfield has a film in the festival as well.
Okay. Awesome. We had an email from Lisa who said, I made it to the first few years of the festival, and now your show has inspired me to get back this year. So that's fantastic. Great. All of you are inspirations for sure. So in our final minute here, Adam and Pat, you talked a little about this earlier, your ideas for making the festival a celebration, not just a screening. How do you really create that?
I think it's creating events and space for people to come together. You know, the coffee talk is starting the day with people that aren't just filmmakers, but are just lovers of art. And so they get to kind of hang out and see the process and you know, doing all these screenings, but then also having events at night, excursions, what else?
It's creating the space for it and trying to encourage it and you know, from our experience, you know, just pushing what we, you know, helping what we feel creates that space. So I think.
And the people that are coming from the big festivals, Sundance, Tribeca, others, are they in the mix with, you know, just local folks too, or are they sort of in rarefied air, or do they get right in there with everybody else?
Here's the great thing about that. It's these big people from the other film festival are Alaskan. So when we're talking about Tribeca, you know, Ben's from Alaska. When we're talking about Doc NYC, they're from Anchorage, you know. So, I mean, in some of those situations, and then for the other ones, look, we have Patrick Fabian, who is in Better Call Saul, and it's an independent film that's going to be Monday at the Beartooth, The Way We Speak. Four or five of the actors are all coming up.
Yeah.
And Patrick Fabian's going to go on all the excursions. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Fantastic. And Kelly, you want to jump in there quick?
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Mark Brown and the Blues Crew, because they're going to be performing at the closing night party, and I know a lot of people here in Anchorage are going to be very excited about that.
And where will that be held?
That will be held at the Alaskan Experience Theater.
Yeah. All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much to my guests, Pat McGee, Adam Linkenhelt, the festival directors, and also Princess Johnson and Kelly Moneymaker, who are both Indigenous writers, filmmakers. All four of them are writers and filmmakers. And thanks to our engineer on the board today, Chris Hyde, our producer, Madeline Rose, and on the phones, Joseph Hansen helped us out. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Lori Townsend.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.